Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get what we pay for. Let's talk to the pros. Welcome in, everybody, to Fantasy Pros. This is the Fantasy Football Podcast. It is me, Joey P. Joe Pizzapia. With me today is Fitzmagic, Pat Fitzmaurice, back again. Lots of quality time for me and Fitz this week, and I love it. We've also got a fabulous guest with us all the way from Yahoo, the Chicago boy himself, who's coming in this weekend to draft against me in the Flex Leagues. You know him. Of course, he's super famous. He's Andy Behrens. Andy, welcome to the show, my friend. It's nice to have you.
Super famous. Wow. Yeah. Thanks for meeting my appearance fee, my outrageous appearance fee. I'm happy to do it.
Yes. And then I will, that equates to, I believe, buying you a beer at the draft. I believe that was the, and look, it's New York City.
Please. It's a little bit more expensive. I don't like to have that out in the public. I don't like everybody.
Well, it's out there
exactly
now.
How expensive I am. Yeah.
Too bad. So of course, you know, it's all those like IPA things because you're so elitist and all that. Although you do like a good outline, I've heard as well. This is true, right?
I've heard. It is one thing I really appreciate about the Fantasy Pros podcast is that we do not lack for an outline and we do not lack for structure. It's here. This is my kind of pod. This is my kind of pod outline. I feel at home.
I would like to clip this segment and I'm going to send it to our bosses. I want to send this to Chris. I want to send this to Friedman so they know exactly how we're rolling here as we head into the season. Fitz, we just came off a live 14-team mock draft stream yesterday. So we've been hanging out with our people and we're hanging out today to talk about a very important subject. How'd you feel yesterday after your draft was over? You felt like that 14 team was kind of like training for the marathon. Now you're ready to get back next week into some of the 12 team stuff.
Yeah. You know, I play in a 14 teamer and a 16 teamer, two of my home leagues. So I'm kind of used to that, but yeah, you always feel like there are gaping holes in your team when you do that, especially since we were going up, against some sharp users, some sharp, Fantasy Pros regulars. So they kept us on our toes.
Yeah, everybody's got that one crazy league. I've got that Football Diehards 32 team Dynasty IDP league. That is the where there's copies of players and it's just, you know, I just try to get all the Josh Allens. Can I get just all the Josh Allens? Give me all those guys. That's what I want to do. Now, today, our topic is about mid-round value picks, which is very important. So we're going to name some running backs, some wide receivers, maybe even a quarterback and a tight end or two that can actually really give you good returns on your investment, because value is very important after all. That's why, you know, we go shop at certain stores. That's why we like certain sales at certain times, because value is important and it's key to roster construction. And if you are playing fantasy football this year and you want to learn more about roster construction, head over to fantasypros.com/kit right now. Again, fantasypros.com/kit to get our fantasy football draft kit. It is live. It's available. It's free. It's got incredible analysis. It's got the ADP stuff in there. It's got player profiles, position primers, all of those magical things, plus strategy guides to help you dominate your fantasy league because it's not enough to win. Remember, you have to dominate it. That's what you got to do. And of course, that's available at fantasypros.com/kit. And don't forget, if you want to upgrade your subscription here and become a premium member of Fantasy Pros, you get extra access to that draft kit. And that can happen for you at fantasypros.com/offers. All you got to do is go to fantasypros.com/offers. You go check out some of the offers we have right now currently available to you and some of our partner sites. You make a deposit and you all know you're going to go out there. You're going to play some DFS. You're going to go out there. You're going to make some wagers. So if you're doing it anyway, you might as well do it here at fantasypros.com/offers, because when you do, you get 6 free months of Fantasy Pros. That's right. All the premium draft kit tools, all of the premium draft wizard tools, all the in-season tools to help you manage your teams, grade your trades, pick up free agents, all of that. Even set all your lineups from 10 different sites in one spot of Fantasy Pros at fantasypros.com/offers. It really, it's the greatest deal in the history of deals. You want to talk about value? That, my friends, is value. So, Fitz, let's get into it and let's talk about it here. Let's start with you. Give me a mid-round running back that you are looking forward to drafting that you think is a good value.
Ramondre Stevenson, and he's been a little buzzy lately, so I don't know if he's going to ascend in ADP. I think what's going to keep him reasonably priced is that people are concerned about the Patriots and how they often tend to be unpredictable with their running back usage. We kind of saw that to some degree last year. Stevenson started, and he was going to get get touches early on, fumbled away, I believe, his second NFL touch and was promptly a healthy scratch for the next 3 games. But then once he got back into Bill Belichick's good graces, he averaged, I think, 12 carries a game from whatever it was, week 5 on, and was actually pretty effective. I think he was the 13th highest graded rusher per PFF among all running backs with at least 100 carries. And what's not to like? Big dude, quick feet, can catch passes. And I know that Boston Herald Patriots beat writer Andrew Callahan was on a podcast with friend of the show Joe Dolan recently. And Callahan predicted that Stevenson would ascend to the running back one spot for the Patriots. So it's a lot to like with this guy.
Works for me. I like him. I know he had a lot of good comps coming into the league. We saw some flashes last year, but he was still only a rookie. We'll see what year 2 can bring for Ramondre Stevenson. In terms of value, you're right. RB37 for a guy who might have high-end RB2 upside is certainly a value. And right now, I think you've got him at RB30, correct? That's where you have him?
Yes, sir.
So 7 spots higher. I think that sounds about right. Look, Harris was scratching the 1,000 yards last year, potentially. He was right there on the precipice of it. That being said, do you think Harris is a value this year, Andy?
Yeah, if people are running away from the Patriots backfield, I think they're both great options. Like, I think they're both, Harris is a little bit more problematic because he's not a guy who's going to finish the season with like 35 receptions or anything like that. And, we can't bank on double digit touchdowns, whatever it was last year, 15, 16 touchdowns year in and year out. But that's a good player. Like, that's a good player that they like. And they're also not like... to some extent, I think it doesn't matter when we hear beat writers talking about how, they think, somebody's going to ascend to the start. I mean, somebody's got to start. I get it. It's clear that they're going to use both backs while they're healthy, right? Like, they're both good players. One thing that Bill Belichick doesn't do is he doesn't just shelve good players for no reason. Like, they're going to play. They're both really good. They're going to lean on the run game. I think if you can get Harris well outside the top 20 running backs, as I've seen him fall, in a handful of leagues, I think that's fine. I'll take that.
Is it one of the more appealing backfields to own to, like, collectively?
Yeah, we know this offense isn't going to be Air Coryell type passing game. So with a ball control attack and sort of letting Mac Jones game manage the offense, absolutely, there can be 2 very fantasy relevant running backs.
All right. Very good. Yeah, I tend to agree with you guys. I mean, Harris seems to be falling very far, and Stevens is kind of like the it guy right now that we're all talking about, but Harris is kind of left around. He's still going to get a lot of work, I think, in this offense regardless. It's still going to be very run heavy, play defense. That's what the Pats are going to do, even if Mac Jones does take another step forward. All right, give me a new name now. No more Patriots. Everyone already calls me a homer sometimes on the show, so more Patriot discussion. Let's get to somebody else, Andy. Who's on your list as a value RB?
Yeah, I don't intend this guy as like, I'm not trying to say he's like a league winner or anything. I don't think he's going to fall into 2,000 scrimmage yards and 20 touchdowns. But I think Chase Edmonds is a really good player. And I think he's landed in a situation where he's probably going to be the primary guy. Now, like, what does it mean to be the primary guy in an offense in 2022? It might only mean 220, 240 touches. But like, there are no backfields anymore where guys are getting 300 touches, basically. There were four such guys last year. Like, it really doesn't happen that often. And it's fine to chase it at the top of a draft, but you're not going to get it later in the draft. And if you're embarking on, you know, and I've done this in a handful of leagues, if you're embarking on any sort of zero RB build, I feel like Chase Edmonds is one of those guys that will slip into this, you know, outside the top 100 range. If he can just stay on the field for 16, 17 games, we're going to get 60 catches. Maybe we're going to get 70 catches. They paid him like, and listen, we shouldn't read too much into what guys get paid, but they did give him 2 years and $12 million. And that's pretty close to starting running back money these days. The other guys on this roster are not scaring me off. I think Chase has a skill set that is different from Michelle, from Raheem Mostert, right? Like, I think you can throw 75, 80 balls at Chase Edmonds and get a great season out of him, even if he's only carrying the ball like 140 times. I think he's an upgrade over Myles Gaskin for sure. Does a lot of the same things that Gaskin could do, but he does them better. I'm pretty excited about Edmonds.
Give me the name. Who is the biggest threat to Chase Edmonds in that backfield, in your opinion?
Yeah, it's probably Michelle, but I can also like, I don't think that Michelle has, I think these are nice complementary players. Like, I think a backfield with Michelle and Edmonds is a pretty smart idea and you can get a lot out of it. I think it's possible that if anything were to happen to Edmonds, that Gaskin could really slip into that role a little bit more. But the other top challenger for something like 900 or 1,000 scrimmage yards out of this backfield is probably Michelle.
All right. Let's move on to another one of your running backs here, Fitzy. Who you got in terms of a good mid-round value? And if it's the guy I think you're going to talk about, then this is somebody you drafted yesterday.
Yes. So every year we see rookie running backs go in fantasy drafts at a discount that they never before see, or they never see again, like later on. They're always more expensive in subsequent years. And I think we might very well see that with Ken Walker of Seattle. And yeah, I mean, like, terrific prospect. So 4.38 speed, 99th percentile college dominator rating, according to Player Profiler, 1,636 rushing yards and 19 total touchdowns last year in the Big Ten. A very good football conference, as Andy can attest. And so we're going to worry about him not getting playing time behind a guy who has missed 28 of a possible 65 games over his four-year career and is playing on a one-year contract. Like, I just don't see Rashad Penny as and I know Rashad Penny is, yes, he's ahead of Ken Walker right now. Of course, they've got the rookie behind Penny on the depth chart. And maybe it starts the season that way. And I hope we continue to get those reports, because it's going to keep the price low on Walker. Hey, I mean, he's their future at the position. And I think the future is going to be now at some point, very early in the season. At minimum, he's going to get, you know, committee carries. And I know the offense isn't very good, but, you know, that is also depressing the price here. So I want to make the bet on talent.
I feel like if he's going to go with the third at the end of his name, he should stay Kenneth. And I just want to put that out there too. I just feel like if you're going to do it all. If you're going to be pretentious, do it all the way. Don't start shortening your name to Ken Walker the third. That's no good.
And maybe give us the middle name too. Like,
if yes, really gonna thank it. You. Yeah. Yes,
if you 100%. Apply at a country club as Kenneth Walker the third, is there any chance you're getting rejected?
No,
none at all.
Zero chance. All right, Andy, let's go back to you. Let's get another name out there on the list of running backs you think right now, currently, in your mind, is a good value.
I am immediately regretting that I selected a former Wisconsin Badger here. I didn't really think this through. I don't think I pieced that together with Pat being on the pod, but I'm going to take Melvin Gordon for the same reasons that I would have taken Melvin Gordon had we done the same thing last year. And this is really unfortunate for the people who are loyal to Javonte Williams, or who imagine that Javonte Williams is ticketed for some sort of like 2,000, 2,100 scrimmage yard sort of role. Melvin was very good last season. And it was funny because I had a lot of Melvin last year because I just thought the gap between Javonte and Melvin was crazy. And then they ended up with essentially the same workload and the same season and all that. People would tell, you know, and one of my favorite things to do on Twitter is to tweak people, right? I almost never give a serious opinion on Twitter. It's a terrible platform for that. And I'll just lob nonsense out there. And I was doing it on Melvin's behalf all last season. And people kept coming at me with the missed tackle totals for Javonte Williams and his elusiveness and his breakaway runs and all that. Well, you don't have to look very far down the list to find Melvin's name on all those leaderboards too. This is the problem. Melvin was great. He was sensational. He was tied for seventh in missed tackles forced, and he was top 10 in runs of 10 or more yards, and he averaged more yards after contact per attempt than Eckler and Mixon and Harris and a bunch of other guys. Among that pool of backs who actually saw, triple digit carries, he was as elusive as any of them. And there's just no reason to take a player like that and shelve him. And I don't think they're going to do it. I think it's much more likely that this backfield looks exactly like it did last year than people are banking on. I get really enjoying Javonte Williams. I think he's a wonderful player. I think he's a potentially really special player if he ever falls into a full workload. He's not falling into a full workload this year because Melvin, unfortunately, still a really good player, available basically for free.
All right, before we dig more into this running back stuff, let's take a quick break for some Miller Lite, baby. It's Miller time. Picking your fantasy team is a crapshoot. We all know that. And picking your beer doesn't have to be. Miller Lite, more taste, only 96 calories, which I know Fitz loves that about the Miller Lite. And when friends come together around fantasy football, it's Miller time. Let's go. The best part of fantasy football, besides winning, of course, is enjoying some cold Miller Lights with your friends at the draft, before the draft, during the draft, after the draft, all season long, because when it's football time, it's Miller time, and that is just a fact. Not only does Miller Lite have more taste than those other guys, but it's got only 96 calories, and for all of us who are watching our figures, and I know that we are, you still want to have some fun with the guys and the gals and drink some beers and still enjoy some football without necessarily feeling like you're, ruining the whole diet plan. It goes all out of whack. So Miller Lite, again, 96 calories. That's it per bottle. Sounds good to me. Let's go. Every good fantasy football draft needs three things. Number one, professional tips. Number two, good friends. And number three, ice cold Miller Lights. That's what you need. Go over to MillerLite.com/buybeeronline today. Again, that's MillerLite.com/buybeeronline so you can get all stocked up and ready to go for your draft and ready to go for every single Sunday or Monday or Thursday or all three. Let's move on to another guy on your list, Fitz, who you have at the running back position that you think right now is a very good value.
Andy's so gracious to appease me by naming a Wisconsin guy. I might have to return the favor
you
later.
You could feel the pain inside of him as he was doing it.
For me, it's Nyheim Hines. And this is he's for a certain type of roster construction. Andy just referred to zero RB. And I think if you are having the sort of roster build where you're pounding receiver early and you are just going to tear opponents asunder at the wide receiver position and just kind of need to get by with a decent second or third running back, Nyheim Hines can be that guy. His ADP, I think, is RB47 right now. I've got him a little higher at RB40. We know he's not going to be the feature guy. So if Taylor gets hurt, it's not going to be Hines getting 70% of the snaps. He's just not that dude. He is a passing down back who can also occasionally come in on early downs and spell the starter. But we know Matt Ryan is going to throw to his running backs more than Carson Wentz did last year. And so I think it's very possible Hines has the kind of year he had with Phillip Rivers in 2020, where he had almost 900 total yards from scrimmage, over 60 catches, and I think seven touchdowns. So he is a useful depth piece, I think, and going just a little too low, pretty easy to get. No one's falling over themselves to get Hines. Still, peak age, he's 25. So if you're going zero RB, or if you're, just looking for sort of a spackle back, maybe a guy who's not going to ascend.
Did you just make that up? I've never heard that before.
Yeah, sometimes you just got to get out the you got to MacGyver it at the position at times if you're you know, somehow get through without getting two of those top 30 guys or whatever. Like Hines is a guy who can kind of patch things up for you.
All right. Now Hines is a guy that I have typically stayed away from in the past, but this year I feel like it's a little bit more open because we really don't have a clear secondary pass catcher outside. I mean, Jonathan Taylor is going to catch his ball, sure. But at the same time, I mean, it looks like Michael Pittman and the rest is completely unknown. Andy, do you find that equation to favor Nyheim Hines' value in drafts this year?
Well, you're making a great point here in that we have no idea who the, right. who the second receiving option is here. And there's a very good chance that Hines ends up number two on the team. And like that's totally in play that he would finish second on the team in receptions. I find myself taking some flyers on guys like, you know, I'll take a flyer on Mo Alie-Cox really late in a draft. I'll take occasional chances on some of the secondary receivers here because there's just no clear number two. And like, I mean, what's the minimum for any NFL team these days? They're going to throw the ball 450 or more times, right? Like Michael Pittman can't take 400 of those.
All right, Andy, let's go to one more running back. Who you think, and once again, we're trying to find these guys in that mid-value range, the guys we think are good returns on investment. So who fits that bill for you?
Yeah, I'm just flagrantly cheating here. And you guys gave a range for like a pick range that I should consider, you know, the mid-rounds.
You flouted my outline. That's what you did.
I just went outside of it. I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why I went outside of it, though, because I'm not, especially as we get late in a draft, I don't, like, there's got to come a point where you don't care about ADP anymore and you have to, like, take some swings at some guys that you personally really like. And so I never let Tyler Allgeier fall outside of this range. So like, if I'm in your draft, he's a mid-round pick. That might not sync up with ADP, but that's where he's going to be if I'm in your draft. I think he's a prime target for zero RB drafters because he's not just, you know, he's not just a guy who could get a share of a workload. He's a guy who could fall into dominating a workload or coming close to it. Like, Cordarrelle Patterson was a wonderful story in Atlanta last season, and we never see it, right? We never see somebody on the wrong side of 30 who's been a kick returner their whole career become, by the end of the year, he was just a straight up running back. He wasn't even a hybrid player anymore. He's just a running back. We never see it. It was really fun. There's no reason that we should bank on that continuing going forward. It's such an unusual case. I will also say that Allgeier is one of those guys who's a bit of a difficult evaluation because of the school. So he comes from BYU. They don't always, it's not like a murderer's row of opponents necessarily. So you don't know what kind of quality opponent you're watching when you're watching his tape. And then it's also complicated by the fact that a couple of years ago, they just had, they had like a Wisconsin style offensive line. Their offensive line was incredible. Multiple pros. And it was the line that protected Zach Wilson, right? That made him a star. I don't always know. I do know that he could handle a full workload. And last year, 1,600 rushing yards, 1,800 scrimmage yards. It seemed to score a touchdown on like every fourth carry. The year before, 7.5 yards per carry. He's a pretty good player. And we saw enough like proof of concept that he can be a functional receiver too. I think there's a real opportunity here. And I don't even know if it takes a Patterson injury. I think it just takes Allgeier sort of proving himself and he can move to the front of the line.
And you have him as your RB40, which is exactly where Hines is for our friend Fitzmaurice.
Realistically, I'd probably draft him higher than that. Like
higher than 40, you mean?
Sure. Yeah. Like whenever I get the itch and whenever I hate the other names and whenever I'm staring at, you know, maybe I'm looking at a tier at receiver, where I don't see a lot of differentiation between guys. I'll take Allgeier.
Well, I've had a lot of Tyler Allgeier here on a lot of our mock draft shows and a lot of real life drafts as well, for the same reason, which I feel like everybody's kind of burned last year by the Mike Davis thing and, you know, a terrible offensive line. And it's not much better, but at the same time, it's like, you know, Mike Davis probably was never the answer to begin with. And I feel like, let's just go with the younger running back. Let's just get the fresher legs. Let's see what happens there. And once again, if you're giving a potential starting job to a guy like that somewhere, you know, in terms of his real RB status too, you guys, you know, obviously you have him in 40, but Allgeier is at 54. I mean, that is a huge gap. I mean, that's basically, we're talking, he's much closer to the Marlon Mack range, Gus Edwards range in terms of, you know, the ECR, whereas you have him closer to the James Cook range and those kind of players. So that being said, would you take him over Cook as well because Allgeier has a potential straight path to the starting job?
Yeah, that's where ranks get so tricky because
right. Because he's the pass catching guy and everybody's the pass catching stuff. That's what you want in fantasy. But at the same time.
Right. Right. I might have a fringe opinion on James Cook, but they've told us. They told us immediately after they drafted him that they viewed him as a receiving specialist. And I don't like he wasn't used in college as a full workload guy, unlike Algier. I don't think they see him that way. I think they just blatantly told us immediately after they drafted him exactly how they see him. It's a nice role for fantasy that is, you know, guaranteed fantasy output there. But they're not grooming that guy, in my understanding, to be like the full workload running back of the future. And he doesn't really profile that way. He's not Dalvin Cook, which is fine. It's fine that he's not Dalvin Cook. He can still have a role that is incredibly productive, 60 plus catches. I can see all that. And he can be at his most efficient and most productive when he's not seeing, you know, 275 touches, something like that. Not everybody has to, you know, like we can like a guy and still imagine that he's probably going to end up at like 200 touches, 180 touches. That's where I think Cook comes in. I think the ceiling with Algier is much higher than that.
Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about Drafters. If you love drafting NFL best ball teams or you're looking to find out what all the hype around the new format of best ball is, you have to check out Drafters.com. Best ball is a season-long fantasy football format where you simply draft your team and you're done for the season. That's it. No ads, no drops, no trades, no setting lineups. Your best performing players automatically count towards your score each week with no extra time commitment, so you can draft as many teams as you like at Drafters.com. And Drafters.com is hosting a $1 million prize pool contest called the Drafters Million, which is a $20 entry with $250,000 in that first place prize. If you use the promo code FANTASYPROS when you make your first deposit over at Drafters.com, you'll get a free $20 ticket into the Drafters Million. 12-team snake drafts start as soon as they fill up and are running all the time, so all you have to do is make an account, use that Fantasy Pros code, and hop into some drafts. Drafters uses a super simple total points format, so the highest scoring team from weeks 1 through 17 wins the top prize of $250,000, and the top 9,100 teams get paid, and right now, there's only 9,500 entries in the contest, so make sure you go check it out. Again, use that promo code Fantasy Pros when you make your first deposit at Drafters.com, and you'll get a free $20 ticket into the contest for a free shot at the $1 million prize. Drafters.com. And now, back to the action. All right, Fitz, let's go back to you and let's change gears from the running backs. Just to recap real quick, we're talking about Ramondre Stevenson, Ken Walker, or Kenneth Walker III, Nyheim Hines, that's Fitz's list. Then we have Andy giving you Chase Edmonds, Melvin Gordon, and Tyler Algier. He's cheating, but I agree with him, so we're going to let it slide. Let's go to the wide receivers now. Fitz, back to you. Give me a value pick at wide receiver that you are targeting in drafts.
Brandon Ayuk, currently going outside the top 40 receiver at wide receiver 41. And so he had this promising rookie year in 2020 and built a lot of excitement for 2021. In fact, he was going typically three rounds earlier than Deebo Samuel last year, which in hindsight seems just, yeah, I mean, like people always pointed how like a lot of people took Robert Woods ahead of Cooper Kupp last year. Like the Deebo Ayuk thing was even, you know, just as crazy, if not crazier. Anyway, he did not top 45 receiving yards until week 9 last year. And just this usage was kind of mysterious to everyone until we later found out that he was not pleasing Kyle Shanahan with his practice habits. So apparently he, like Ramondre Stevenson, after his early fumble, worked his way back into the good graces of his head coach. And from week 9 on, he was the wide receiver 15 in PPR scoring. And as Andrew Erickson pointed out in a piece that's going to be landing on fantasypros.com later today, and that's the great thing about being an editor, I can just steal one of our writers' stats or whatever. So he was 13th in yards per route run in the second half of the season among wide receivers, 6th in yards after the catch per reception. So there's a lot to like here. I mean, once he got back in Shanahan's good graces, proved himself on the practice field and maybe did that again yesterday, getting into a fight, I think, with Fred Warner at 49ers practice. I think all systems are go. I'm not really worried about Trey Lance being a significant downgrade from Jimmy Garoppolo. So, Yeah, I mean, there are other significant pass catchers here, obviously, with Debo and Kittle, but we know it's going to be a pretty skinny tree as far as the target distribution.
Andy, let's go to you for a wide receiver. Who do you think right now is a solid value in terms of return on investment?
Yeah, I'm going to start with a guy that I don't think is going to be like, if we did this podcast in, sorry, it just started raining here torrentially. So apologies if you hear any background noise, I can't really control it. I'm going to start with a guy, and I think Ayuk falls into this category as well. Like if we were to record this podcast in 2 weeks, I don't think Juju Smith-Schuster is eligible for it anymore. I think it's kind of outrageous that he's eligible for it now, but he is. Like the ADP on this guy is outside the top 80. Pretty crazy to me. He's, first of all, he's 25 years old.
I can hear the lightning, so I don't know if you're upsetting the football gods with this take or what.
It's possible that this take is so hot that Mother Nature herself is...
It's like you're creating this magical moment for Juju here on the pod. I can't wait to hear what happens. This is fantastic. Go for it.
I know. I'm like the weatherman who's like reporting live from a hurricane, right? And everything is getting ripped off me. There's cars flying.
I hear the
me.
Thunder going. Yeah, it's like,
but
wow.
I've got to get the truth out to the people about Juju. one of the things that blows me away is he's only 25 years old, and Pat will appreciate this as a Packers fan. Like he's like a couple months older than Velus Jones, who the Bears just drafted like in round three. This is a really young player. He's like a year older than Mecole Hardman. He's 2 years younger than MVS. He's a year younger than Patrick Mahomes. Like he's totally age appropriate for this team. This isn't some like veteran that where we've already seen his best years. And I don't like to be the guy who falls for like every clip that we see from training camps that go viral, but I do really like seeing the Chiefs throw to Juju deep, right? Like we've seen a bunch of viral clips of Juju catching the ball like 30 yards, 40 yards downfield. I'm pretty excited about that. Because one thing they did in Pittsburgh, and some of this is just a function of Ben's health and arm strength over the last couple of years, he was being targeted about 5 yards downfield. Like you'd look at the, you know, the very bottom of intended air yards per target, and there was Juju like for the last couple of years. It just wasn't happening. He wasn't getting splash play opportunities. They always liked him in the red zone. They always liked him when they got in, you know, inside the 10, but he just wasn't seeing like big high yield opportunities. That's going to happen in Kansas City. Like this is just a galactically large upgrade in terms of quality of quarterback. There's something like 260 vacated receiver targets available in Kansas City, and Patrick Mahomes is the freaking quarterback. Like that, we don't have to just pick one of these guys, right? Like there's that many targets available. Juju can have a heck of a year, and Hardman can have a heck of a year, and MVS can have a heck of a year. Like there's plenty of work to go around. So it's not going to surprise me at all if Juju finishes with, you know, I mean, I think in his best year, it was 111 receptions, over 1400 receiving yards. So like, we've already seen him be a star. He's already been a wide receiver one, and there's no reason he can't be a wide receiver one again.
You didn't mention my favorite guy, Sky Moore. No Sky Moore love, Andy? What's going on there?
No, okay. There's 260 available receiver targets. So like,
well, I would Hardman, like him to get 200 of those. Can I order that?
I think Sky Moore's
great. Can I put that into my Amazon order? 200, 200 targets for Sky Moore, please. I'd like that.
You can leave it in the cart. Can be one of those things. Like my wife has some clothing items that she just leaves in the Amazon cart for like a year, and Sky Moore can be that. That's really nice. And then someday down the road, I'm going to feel especially generous.
Does she leave them in there just thinking accidentally, like you're just going to check out the cart and accidentally you're just going to get ordered? Like that's a great tactic, by the way. I think that's my kids started to try to do that on me recently, and I'm like, no, I see your little game. I see what you're doing.
Underrated spouse tactic for sure.
That's true. All right, let's go back to you, Fitz. Give me another wide receiver that you feel could potentially be a turnaround guy, a mid-round value guy. We already got Ayuk, who is going at wide receiver 41. You had him at 33. Juju is another name that's from there. And you've got another guy who used to play with Juju last year.
Chase Claypool, also falling outside the top 40 wide receiver at wide receiver 44 and outside the top 100 overall at 105. People are going to shy away just because of this situation with the two-headed quarterback with Mitchell Trubisky and Kenny Pickett, with the competition for targets at wide receiver with Deontay Johnson and George Pickens, who's kind of been turning heads in training camp. We just don't know what that situation is going to be like. I mean, Deontay Johnson was the crutch for the ancient Ben Roethlisberger to lean on last season. And I don't know that Deontay is going to be the same sort of alpha target hog that he was last year. I'm betting on the freakish size and athleticism of Chase Claypool here, and especially good time to place that bet after he only scored 2 touchdowns last year, and he had scored 9 as a rookie. So we've kind of seen what the touchdown potential is here. The one worry here is that maybe he's kind of a head case, and that maybe part of the reason that George Pickens was drafted was, antics like the Vikings game last year, where they were trying desperately to tie the game late, down 8 points, and, Claypool catches a pass for a first down and decides to take valuable time posing and striking the first down, while the Steelers are trying to huddle up. So, our mutual friend Andy and my friend Michael Salfino would say, perhaps he's all tools and no toolbox. But man, at the price that Chase Claypool is going
Going to the Poconos this summer to open up for somebody? Like, you're just crushing it here. Right. Like, I just like
the Shecky Green Fantasy Pros.
Check out Fitz on the road. Sometimes the 11 o'clock show is completely different, folks, than the 10 o'clock show. It's so good.
Are we spackling with Chase Claypool?
He's just bebopping and scatting here.
Hey,
does the George Pickens buzz around camp worry you at all when it comes to Claypool?
A little bit. I mean, there are, and I hate this, it's the worst cliche in fantasy football, too many mouths to feed. Maybe there are too many mouths to feed with this group, but man, like, rather than just get some guy who we're projecting on, like, in a bad situation, oh, he's better than these other bums and he's going to be the wide receiver one on the Jaguars or some team like that. No offense, Joe. I know you took Christian Kirk yesterday.
I did.
A mock draft.
I'll take Christian Kirk late. I think he's going to get a ton of targets. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I mean, and I would draft Kirk ahead of Claypool, but
you took Marvin Jones in the same draft, so let's
exactly.
Not,
and hey, man, I would rather have Chase Claypool than Marvin Jones. Obviously, like I'm betting on the talent here.
Yeah,
like, I'm betting on the talent to come through. Like, this guy is just a freak, big and fast, and if he ever puts it all together, I mean, this is a guy who could dramatically outkick his ADP.
I'm not concerned ever about too many mouths to feed. I'm always more concerned about who's cooking the dinner, who's cooking the dinner, and that's, the thing. It's like, well, if you have a great quarterback, then everybody can eat at the table, and that's great. But when it's Trubisky and Pickett, you're trying to figure out, okay, who's that going to be? How's Pickett transition to the NFL going to be? Does Trubisky have a second life? Who knows? I'm not saying neither of these guys have any ability, because I think it wouldn't surprise me at all if Trubisky actually played relatively well for the first 6 weeks of the season and we had a little bit of a controversy there. It wouldn't surprise me if he played terribly and then Kenny Pickett came in and maybe he played well, maybe he didn't. I think Pickett's not getting enough credit for how good he was last year. And I think that's something you're going to see Pickett sooner than later because of the draft capital. And you never know how that's going to change, too. Is Pickens going to be that guy because he works more with Pickens while he's working with the twos in practice while Trubisky's taking those things? That kind of stuff, I feel like, sometimes alters our plans. Let's take a quick break in the action to tell you about AirMed Care Network. Let's talk about your best defense for the unexpected. Are you prepared if the unthinkable happens? If a medical emergency arises, AirMed Care Network provides members with world-class emergency air transport services to the nearest hospital with no out-of-pocket expenses. Join today and never pay a dime for your medical flight when flown by an AMCN provider. Insurance doesn't always cover the full cost of a medical emergency, so this is a great way to secure financial peace of mind, and memberships cost as little as $85 a year for your entire household. And right now, as a Fantasy Pros listener, you'll get up to a $50 Visa or Amazon gift card with a new membership. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use that offer code FantasyPros, because no matter where you are in the game of life, an AirMed Care Network membership is the protection no one should live without. And now, back to the action. Who do you think, Andy, is another guy that could you want to alter your plans for in drafts and make sure that you draft them as a mid-round wide receiver value?
Yeah, this is maybe I'm cheating here too, because this is another guy who I think is going to vault up a little bit and maybe become ineligible for this when most leagues are drafting for real. But like Drake London seems like a steal to me. Wonderful college player, like, and almost, I don't know, it's really difficult to find a whole lot of faults, I think, in his collegiate resume. You might have wanted more games last year, but he gave you like 88 catches and 1,000 yards in 8 games. They peppered him with targets. Opponents always knew where the ball was going. And he was just a monster. He vacuumed everything up. He was great. He's huge, right? Like they've paired him with Kyle Pitts, and almost every receiver on that team is like 6'4 and above. I don't like how many guys can Marcus Mariota support. I'm already talking about my second member of the Atlanta Falcons. Maybe that's a mistake. I probably wouldn't stockpile Falcons skill players. It is a little bit scary, but you know, if you're only taking the shot on one member of the Atlanta offense, which I think is the reasonable thing to do, I think Algier and Drake London are those guys. I get the love for Pitts, wonderful talent, but you got to take Kyle Pitts like in the third round, second round, not second round, but you got to take him like third round. There's somebody who's always willing to do that. Drake London, albeit at a different position, can put up exactly the same numbers, if not better numbers, and is almost locked. I mean, the camp reports have been great so far. He's pretty well locked into like 130 targets, and that's hard to find in the range in which we're picking here.
Fair enough. All right, let's go back to Rodney Dangerfield. Fitz, who do you have next on your list of mid-round wide receivers that you want to target?
Kadarius Toney, and I'm doing it strictly on the 2-week stretch we saw from him in weeks 4 and week 5 last year, where he put up 6 catches, 78 yards against the Saints in week 4, 10 catches, 189 yards against the Cowboys in week 5. And man, did he just look so good in those two games. I mean, this is a dude who just crackles with electricity when he's got the ball in his hands. He's just this springy athlete. Like, I can see why the Giants, going into last year, a lot of people thought he was kind of a reach. But man, when he was on the field, you could totally understand it, how they just fell for the athleticism, because it totally shows up on the field. So the issue, of course, was that, you know, he dealt with a hamstring injury in training camp. And then after that great 2-game stretch, it was just one thing after another for him. It was, ankle, quad, oblique, thumb, and COVID, not once but twice. So the concern is that he's like maybe another Percy Harvin, who's this unique weapon who can be deployed in a lot of different ways, kind of a potential Swiss Army knife with this extraordinary athleticism, but like can just never stay healthy. So I'm not going to let those worries override my excitement at this guy's skills after just one season. So, add the Brian Daboll offense to maybe, you know, rekindle the spark in the Giants passing game, even though, you know, Daniel Jones is still the trigger man. I'm excited by the potential here, and getting him as cheaply as you can as the wide receiver 47 at ADP outside the top 100. Yes, please.
Yeah, and you've got him at wide receiver 40. He's at 47 over there on fantasypros.com. I would love him even more if I would stop hearing every day about Wandale Robinson. I feel like that was like, what? How did that happen? What's going on here? I want to figure that out a little bit.
If I can jump in here, please. A couple weeks ago, we had Art Stapleton, the great Giants beat writer, on the Yahoo Fantasy Football Forecast pod. And we were talking Giants. And I basically asked Art a question where I was trying to lead him to say nice things about Wandale Robinson, right? Because he killed my Iowa Hawkeyes in a bowl game, right? I think he's a really exciting talent. And the thought behind the question was, surely Daniel Jones is not going to support like 3 fantasy relevant wide receivers. So give me the name, Art. And then I said a bunch of nice things about Wandale, I think. And, Art was on Toney. Like, to Pat's point, like there's almost nobody in the league who looked as freakish as Toney did in like his 2 good games last year. Incredible.
All right. Give me another guy that you want to draft as a wide receiver value, Andy.
Oh, perfect segue, because this guy is not a freakish athlete, but I'm going to talk about Alan Lazard. He's dodged every bullet that he could have possibly dodged, right? Like they took some receivers in the draft, but they didn't take, you know, the marquee receivers. Every great wide receiver in the NFL was available for trade in the offseason. The Packers added none of them. Even, you know, we go all the way down to Julio Jones. They didn't sign Julio Jones. Like they've done nothing of note to make me think that Alan Lazard isn't going to see 140 targets. And now we have Rodgers talking him up as a Hall of Famer. And maybe that's a little bit tongue in cheek, but like Rodgers is, and Pat knows this, that like it's not uncommon for the Packers to build slowly with wide receivers.
Sure.
Right?
Oh, it's not like Jordy Adams. Nelson was, you know, the can't miss prospect of all time of wide receivers.
They turned Jordy Nelson into a thing over time. They developed Jordy Nelson. Like Devontae Adams was a punchline his first season in the league. He was dropping everything, and we all had jokes about it. And now nobody separates like Devontae, and he's great. And like, that's a product of a great team ecosystem. And I think Lazard has enjoyed that over the years. I don't think Lazard is, you know, there's no one athletic trait other than his height, I guess. He's huge, that I'd point to say that Lazard is some budding superstar. But man, he's going to come into volume, and it's not just volume. It's volume from, you know, the back-to-back MVP, one of the best quarterbacks in NFL history. He's in an absolutely great situation. And again, he's dodged every big name. So I expect him to have a big year.
I'm actually the only person who's higher on Lazard than you, because you got him at wide receiver 33. I've got him at 32. So you and I see eye to eye.
It's like you, me, and Kluge who've been talking up Alan Lazard and almost nobody else.
I just feel like, you know, sometimes it is that simple. And it's funny, the more you watch Romeo Dubs, the more I like him more than Christian Watson. I don't know if I'm in like a minority on that or not. I don't know if time will tell, but Lazard's the one thing I feel good about. And you know they have to throw the ball to somebody, to, as you were pointing out earlier. There's only so many, you know, targets out there, and you know they're going to have to throw the ball a certain minimum number of times. No matter how good the running backs are, no matter what it is, it's still Aaron Rodgers, it's still the Packers, still a very competitive team. Lazard's been there, knows the offense, has the confidence of Aaron Rodgers, and he is basically going as a third wide receiver or fourth wide receiver in some drafts. Yeah. And I just think that's an absurd value right now. Do you also think that, Mr. Packer? What do you think about Alan Lazard?
So, I mean, I don't think he's that great a separator. I don't know if he's capable of being like a 120 target guy for this offense. Like, I think this could very well be like a wide receiver core that doesn't have a guy go over like 750 yards, where it's just allotted between three, four, five different guys. But I will say this, the Packers goal line back the last couple of years was Devontae Adams. Mm-hmm. Rodgers loves throwing close to the goal line, and Lazard is huge.
Yeah.
Lazard is a huge dude. Like, even if I don't love the reception and yardage potential here, I love the TD potential here. I mean, it wouldn't shock me if Lazard approached double digits for touchdowns.
I mean, if he gave you 9 touchdowns and 1,200 yards, I think he'd be pretty happy with that as, well, you know, the 40th wide receiver off the board.
Yeah, I'm not buying the 1,200 yards, though, Joe. I can't go there. Like, no, I think, you had
11?
You know,
I don't even think 11's that much anymore with the extra game now, too. You think 11?
Man, I'd take 8 or 9, maybe. Like, you could talk me into 800, 900.
And do you think, can he break 1,000?
Yeah, I think he can definitely break 1,000. I don't even think I'm super bullish on Lazard. Like, Pat and I might be in pretty close to the same place on Lazard as an actual player. Like, in a lot of offenses, I don't think he would be all that exciting. And I think he'd be like the fourth guy. But that is the state of the Packers receiving core. And I also, you know, I will defer to Aaron Rodgers on football matters. And Aaron Rodgers was calling for more Lazard on the field when Lazard was a rookie, like openly in the media called, like, Rodgers loves him some Alan Lazard, loved him early, loves him now, like he's talking him up now. So, I a guy that size, a guy like 6'5" and just absolutely enormous, I don't mean to say that it's about separation isn't important. Of course, separation is important. It's a huge skill for receivers, clearly. But he can also be a box out specialist, right? Like, he doesn't need 4 yards of separation.
And not every corner
to be
he's going to face
open.
Is going to be elite either, necessarily.
And he's also tied to a quarterback who is just weirdly, freakishly surgical, right? Like,
yes.
Single coverage against any receiver is open to Aaron Rodgers. We've seen that over the years.
Good point there. All right, Brandon Ayuk, Chase Claypool, Kadarius Toney, Juju Smith-Schuster, Drake London, Alan Lazard, some of the names that the boys have put forth as mid-round wide receiver values. Let's switch gears to quarterback and tight end before we hit the mailbag and then head on out today. Fitz, give me a QB and a tight end that you think are both mid-round values that people should be aware of.
All right, I referenced him earlier talking about Brandon Ayuk. It's Trey Lance at quarterback. It almost feels like cheating. Like, he's this year's Jalen Hurts. Last year, a lot of, you know, sharp fantasy analysts and me were telling you to draft Jalen Hurts. And this year, like, don't get Jalen Hurts this year because he's too expensive. Get Trey Lance instead. He ran 24 times in his 2 starts for the 49ers last year. 24 times. And as a guy coming from a small school who, very limited exposure to NFL defenses last season, didn't play a lot of games in college, like, might he be confused by what he sees from prolonged exposure to NFL defenses? Yes. And if he's confused, he's going to take off and run. Like, that's the benefit here. So, yeah, but it's not all about running. Like, I don't think the 49ers would have given up two future first rounders and a future third for a guy who they didn't think could become an above average NFL passer. And, I think, you know, having Deebo Samuel, George Kittle, Brandon Ayuk there might help him a little bit in that regard. So, man, I mean, he's like such an easy pick if you wait on quarterback this year.
All right, so that's the quarterback. Who's the tight end on your list?
So I told you I was going to pay Andy back for his Melvin Gordon. So I got to mention Noah Fant here, an Iowa tight end. I mean, you know, the NFL is awash in former Iowa tight ends. And everyone hates, Andy mentioned this earlier, that, you know, Drew Lock, Geno Smith, people just don't want anything of Tyler Lockett because of that. They don't want anything to do with Noah Fant for the same reason. He's tight end 16, despite the fact that this guy has some experience playing with Drew Lock. And his last two seasons, 62 catches, 673 yards, three touchdowns, tight end 8. And then last year, 68 catches, 670 yards, four touchdowns, tight end 12. That was, you know, 1 year mostly with Drew Lock, 1 year with Lock and Teddy Bridgewater. So, like, Fant has given you decent low-end tight end 2 production with bad quarterbacks. And we know a lot of tight ends don't really, like, hit their peak until year 4 or 5. Like, Fant is hitting there now, and this dude is just 97th percentile speed score, 97th percentile burst score, 96th percentile agility score, 99th percentile catch radius. This guy's just a freak. So, yeah, if people are going to completely avoid him because he's playing with bad quarterbacks, I'll take him very late in drafts and get, you know, low tight end 1 production. Sure.
I feel bad for Noah Fant. He's like Al Pacino in Godfather 3. Everything he thinks he's out every time, and he just gets pulled back into some kind of system with Drew Lock. No matter what he does, he can't escape Drew Lock. Andy, give me a quarterback and a tight end that you think are really good values, whether it be in Superflex or not, as terms of the quarterback or even in a deeper quarterback league.
The quarterback for me is easy. It's Derek Carr. I think he has a very clear and obvious path to not just a top 10 finish at the position, maybe top 8 finish at the position, something like that. Like, we get 17 games now. There's a really good chance that Derek Carr throws for 5,000 yards. He threw for over 4,800 last year in a season in which everything that you can imagine and half the things like you can't imagine went wrong for the Raiders, right? Like, head coach resigns in disgrace. One of his primary receivers gets arrested and jailed. Darren Waller, like, best skill player on the team, basically, like, goes down in December. Like, all kinds of things went wrong. Derek Carr passed for 4,800 yards and just dragged that team to the playoffs. Really good season for him. Now he gets, you know, one of Earth's best receivers and his former collegiate teammate, Devontae Adams. Like, and Devontae chose him, right? Like, Devontae wanted to go there. It wasn't, you know, Devontae had Aaron Rodgers, better quarterback, chose Derek Carr. So I think that matters. They're not going to struggle to find rapport. They already have it. He's got a healthy Waller. He's got Hunter Renfrow, who's great. He's got Josh McDaniels, which seems to me like a nice enough upgrade. The AFC West is a freaking arms race, right? We're going to see nothing but high scoring games, great offenses. I think Derek Carr is going over 5,000 yards. I think it's going to be a great year for him. And I also think that Devontae opens up the one thing that Derek Carr has really needed to unlock is the possibility of throwing for 35 touchdowns. It just hasn't really been there in recent years. I think that's back. So I think 5,000 yards and 35 scores is very attainable for Carr. I think he's a great value. At tight end, this feels a little cheaterish too. I'm gonna go Dawson Knox. Like, he's eligible here, scored 9 touchdowns last year, and he did it. He basically did it with like a broken hand, right? Like, we do a segment with Austin Eckler each week, and he had Dawson Knox on as a guest at one point, and it was like a month after Knox had broken the hand, and he held it up and it was like twice the size of his other hand. Like, he had the season that he just had in a compromised state, right? And it's the Buffalo offense. Like, if you seriously think that Josh Allen is an MVP candidate, then you have to be in on Dawson Knox, and you have to think of him as a potential top 5 fantasy tight end on touchdowns alone. Like, every year we see a couple guys who just sort of stumble into a great fantasy finish because you can't keep them out of the end zone. And Knox is a really strong candidate to be that guy.
Yeah, it's funny because so many people have been down on Dawson Knox. You're the first person we've had on this show all summer who has said something positive and something to not forget, which is if you think Josh Allen's going to be MVP, then maybe you should still buy in on Dawson Knox as a low-end.
You know, something that happens all the time in fantasy is we get down on guys who play through injury. Knox came back and played through
an injury. It's a Saquon Barkley argument. He played through the injury, so we're all down on Barkley, him. Christian McCaffrey's not around, so we want to anoint him as the one again.
Yes, yeah. Think about the way people talk about Antonio Gibson after last season. Like, everybody hates Gibson now, and some of it is the way they may use him. A lot of it was the way he played last year. He freaking played on a broken leg. You know, like, his real-life team gives him a lot of credit for that. Think about when we all wrote off Odell Beckham. That was because he was playing through injury, right? Like, it happens in the NFL. Teams recognize it, teams appreciate it, but fantasy guys are like, oh well, look at Antonio Gibson. Now he doesn't score touchdowns, and now he's not explosive. Well, he was playing on a broken leg, and Dawson Knox was playing with like a pillow for a hand last year, and he played through it. He deserves a little bit of credit for that.
Yeah, after doing the show with you, Andy, I can tell Saturday is going to be a wild time, because I love Derek Carr. I love Alan Lazard, Tyler Algier. I can only hope we're right next to each other in the draft just to make fun there.
Let's dig into the listener mailbag.
Let's do a listener mailbag. Of course, this is straight from our Discord chat. So if you haven't already, you can join that for free. Also, fantasypros.com/chat. That's our Discord, where we have all the interaction with our fans. We've been pulling people right from our Discord for these live mocks we've been doing on the podcast, on the YouTube channel, and of course, free to join. But once again, if you are upgraded at Fantasy Pros to the premium package, you get access to all the stages, the AMA channels, and so much more. And this one is from Ray O'Blander. Which player does the Tim Patrick injury benefit the most? Fitz, do you have an answer? With Tim Patrick gone for the year, who do you think benefits the most in this offense?
I'm buying the Andrew Erickson theory that maybe Jerry Jeudy wouldn't have been on the field in two wide receiver sets if Tim Patrick had stayed healthy. And so now, I mean, I don't think there's any question that Jeudy is on the field in two wide receiver sets. I guess it's Jeudy, even though I kind of like Jeudy more than Sutton to begin with. But I do think, this makes it certain that Jeudy is going to play a lot.
Too much credit to Andrew Erickson in this podcast. Let's go back to you, Andy. Same question there. The Tim Patrick injury, who is the beneficiary?
Yeah, I agree with Pat here. I think it's Jeudy. I do not like Jeudy more than Cortland Sutton. I think Cortland Sutton to me is like a known commodity. Seems like he has pretty obvious rapport with Russell Wilson. Not that we need to be guessing at that, but Cortland Sutton's had a great season, and he had a great season with like Drew Lock and Joe Flacco. So I give him a ton of credit for that. Like, we're still waiting. Like, it's still all speculation on Jerry Jeudy. We haven't really, and I know he's been injured. I know there are issues, but we haven't seen it yet in the NFL with Jerry Jeudy. I agree that Jerry Jeudy was probably not going to see the field as much as Cortland Sutton if everything went according to plan. Some of that is just the fact that Tim Patrick is a really good player, and this is super unfortunate. Like, that guy found ways to pop.
Yes, he did.
Last season with like in miserable circumstances, right? Like, on four or five targets a game, he would make a field flipping play or score a touchdown that was utterly unexpected. That guy's a good player. Really unfortunate. I think it's probably more targets for Jeudy. Maybe it helps Albert O. There's a little bit of a trickle down effect, but I also think that Tim Patrick just like on his own was skilled enough that this is just subtraction by subtraction. I don't think that all those stats just go somewhere. Like, I think Tim Patrick was going to have a role and was going to make enough meaningful plays that some of this is just a bad thing for Denver's offense overall.
That's a bigger picture thing to put forth right there. And of course, he's great at giving you the bigger picture. He's Andy Behrens. You can follow him on Twitter at Andy Behrens. By the way, he doesn't follow me on Twitter. Pat, can you believe what he's missing out on? I just realized this.
I'll correct that right now.
No, don't do it. I'm not begging for follows. That's not what I just saw. And I thought that was very funny. But yes, Andy Behrens, of course, over at Yahoo, doing fantastic work. One of the best in the industry. And that is, again, not something we say lightly here. We appreciate your time, you coming on with us today and spreading the knowledge on the value plays. If you want to look in more of the ECR and the ADP, go over to fantasypros.com/rankings to do that. And of course, I'm laying out the game plan for you. You go to fantasypros.com/offers. You invest in one of the partner sites. You get the entire draft kit. What I talked about at the top of the show, that fantasy football draft kit at fantasypros.com/kit. You get access to the DFS tools, to the in-season management tools, all the draft sync tools, the cheat sheet creator, And of course, access to all of us over here, Fantasy Pros, all the analysts on our Discord as well. So, I mean, it's just a crazy value. Go check it out at fantasypros.com/offers. And if you just want to go check it out for free, you can also check out the fantasypros.com/kit as well, because we are serving everybody, but we want you to be part of the Fantasy Pros family here and get in on all of the amazing tools and all the amazing access that we're giving you in fantasy football season to dominate your drafts. I'd like to thank the sponsors of today's show, including Drafters.com. Head over to Drafters.com. Use that promo code FANTASYPROS to get your $20 entry for free in their Drafters Million contest right now. Go play some best ball. And while you do it, why not crack open a nice Miller Lite? Head over to MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. Get all the Miller Lite you need for your fantasy draft parties, for your NFL Sundays. Again, that's MillerLite.com/buybeeronline. And of course, don't forget about Air Medcare Network. Visit airmedcarenetwork.com/fantasypros and use the offer code FANTASYPROS no matter where you are in the game of life. An Air Medcare Network membership is the protection no one should live without. That'll do it for us, but the story of the game goes on. For Andy Behrens and Shecky Green, I mean Pat Fitzmaurice, I'm Joey P. We'll see you next time, kids.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
The new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the #1 recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. .com/compatibility.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Her roast of Tom Brady stole the show. Now she's talking about it on the latest episode of the Nikki Glaser Podcast.
I said, tell Tom Brady that I'm the Tom Brady of roasting.
Lots of people roasted the goat, but only Nikki is still being talked about.
Every time I refresh my DMs, it's 14 blue check marks of people I didn't even know who knew me are writing like paragraphs to me.
Hear that in all episodes of the Nikki Glaser Podcast on America's #1 podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search the Nikki Glaser Podcast to start listening.